This is a Building Resilience Podcast, episode 178, Get Over It. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Building Resilience Podcast. I have wanted to do this episode for a while, and I'm wondering if I say that every single time I talk about an episode, because there's so many different episodes that I want to cover. Sometimes they get bumped by something else that comes up and inspires me. So I may always say that I've wanted to do this episode for a while. It's the same thing in my advanced training in nervous system resilience. Every week I talk about how this is my favorite topic to teach. And then the next week, it's another one of my favorite topics. So like this past week in level two, we talked all about post-traumatic growth. And then the next week, we're diving into emotional processing, and then we head into chronic pain and illness, and they're all my favorite topics, seriously. So I guess I'm just passionate about everything nervous system related, and all these things are nervous system related. On a side note, a few people have reached out to ask me when the next round of the advanced training in nervous system resilience is going to be. It will be in the fall, 2024, September. So make sure that you're on my wait list so you will be the first to hear. Now, the other day I was talking to one of my clients. She was sharing with me about an incident she had with someone, and the person essentially had told her she just needed to get over it. And my client said it really, really irritated her that the person told her that. But then in her mind, she said to herself, she really does need to get over it and move on, but she doesn't feel like she can. She felt like things were so unresolved. We had a really great discussion about the whole idea of telling somebody to get over it or wanting to get over something. And I wanted to share some of the thoughts that we talked about here with you today. And before I share some of my coachy stuff about all this, I'm going to share some of my own thoughts, because I know when I shared them with my client, it really resonated with her. And the interesting thing is that sometimes when you share what you're feeling or the story that you have, the act of sharing is so therapeutic. That is how it was with my client. When I shared my perspective, she related to it and she felt seen and heard. Now, I've been in situations in my life where there have been a lot of injustices, a lot of drama, a lot of ups and downs. I'm sure you can relate. And being a blended family, we have had our fair share of challenges. And some of them, if I were to tell you, you would laugh at how ridiculous some stories are that I have. Some of them are quite unbelievable, actually. But I have very, very large legal bills that will show you they were very, very real. So there was a lot of stuff over the years that we have had to put up, especially in the divorce arena. Or there are incidents with other people where maybe there was a breach of trust or something that was very distressing that happened and made life very chaotic. Sometimes there was something that happened more in a professional realm where there was an injustice. Maybe there was some financial consequence. Or there have been just the everyday frustrations, the nature of being in a family, having an extended family. You get my point. Ruptures happen everywhere to everyone. We all have things happen to us in life, in our personal relationships, maybe with our partner, our ex-partner, our children, our siblings, our friends, our colleagues, our bosses, our neighbors. And maybe you were able to handle the situation, you dealt with it, you got through it, you figured it out, you found a way to move forward. But the incident or the exchange that you had, I'm going to call it the rupture, is still there. And it likely took you time and effort and soul searching. Maybe some tears, maybe some pain, maybe some heartache. Maybe it took a toll on your health or it cost you financially. And then time passes. And then maybe there's a reconnect with the other party. Maybe there has always continued to be a connection with whom the rupture occurred. But then after some time has passed, the message becomes, whether directly or indirectly, oh my gosh, are you still not over that? That was years ago. That was ages ago. I thought we were done with that. Why can't you get over it? And I'm sure you're very well aware that someone telling you to get over something that was very painful to you is not going to motivate you to get over it at all. It likely will just make things worse. What is the problem? Why are people not able to get over things? Well, often, and not always, but often the reason people struggle with getting over things, getting over a rupture, is that there was never a repair or a true attempt of a repair. So today I want to talk more about ruptures and repairs. And it's really a phrase that comes from the work of Deb Dana. She says that ruptures in relationships are inevitable. A healthy relationship requires reciprocity, some give and take, and it will still have ruptures, all sorts of ruptures. And what is important is the attempt to repair. A healthy, resilient relationship will have ruptures and then repair. And this cycle actually can help us grow stronger in relationships. It is actually how we navigate these ruptures that can define the health and longevity of our connections. I'll also add here that sometimes it's not somebody verbally saying to you, get over it, but it could be that you bring something up and maybe it doesn't really get acknowledged. It might get dismissed with a platitude or a, I'm sorry you feel that way. So just because there's not more of aggressive get over it said to you, the absence of the acknowledgement that a rupture was felt is not helpful either. In fact, it can lead to even more ruptures or a disconnect overall in the relationship. Sometimes we may think we're avoiding conflict or taking a high road by not engaging in something, but often we're just silently and dismissively fueling a fire. So I just wanted to mention this because often we think of ruptures as being sort of loud and aggressive, but it can actually be quiet, dismissive, ignoring something or someone, what they're saying that is upsetting to them and just dismissing it. All right, let's go further and break down a little bit. Again, what is a rupture? In relationships, I'd say it refers to any instance where there is a breakdown in communication, trust, or emotional connection. Now, it may show up as arguments, misunderstandings, or betrayals. It can be an omission where something was left out, and it can be a commission where it was more deliberate. And sometimes it can innocently happen. Sometimes it can be very deliberate and even manipulative. So I'm sure you have experienced a rupture. What we often don't always experience is a repair. And while time and distance can help with repairs, it is not a substitute for repairs. And that is what my client was frustrated with. And that kept her stuck. And every time I know for myself I've had a hard time getting over something, it's usually because the repair was non-existent, and then the expectation was that time and distance could fix it all. Or maybe the repair didn't feel genuine, or the attempt of the repair was made, but the rupture was ongoing. Now let's talk about what is involved in a repair. It essentially involves acknowledging a few steps, the harm that was caused, taking responsibility for your actions, and then actively working towards resolution. Repairing allows for healing and growth, reinforces trust and intimacy in a relationship. So acknowledging the rupture really involves acknowledging the harm was caused to one party or another. It can involve a recognition and then the validation of the feelings and the experience of both parties involved. For example, I can see how my words came across as dismissive. This is not the time to say things like, well, it's your thoughts about my words. If you just change your thoughts, you wouldn't be so hurt. Or to share that no one can actually hurt you, you are in charge. Now, while I actually believe these things, it's not the time to share that. And it's not to excuse somebody else's behavior. I do get to think what I want, but you are in charge of your actions that can either help me think nice things about you or struggle with thinking nice things. So acknowledging the rupture and the validation is not the validation that you're right. It's the validation that you are experiencing whatever you are experiencing. Secondly, it's the taking responsibility, which usually does involve some type of apology. Hopefully it's sincere, because if it's not sincere, then it's not really taking responsibility. So an apology for any wrongdoing or hurt caused, and an express of genuine remorse. For example, I apologize for not communicating with you openly about this. And it needs to be genuine. And note, the responsibility falls on the heels of acknowledging what has happened. And then thirdly, we want to try to communicate openly. It is helpful if you can engage in an honest dialogue, a compassionate dialogue to understand each other's perspectives and feelings. And this can look like, I want to hear your perspective on what happened so we can work through this. Sometimes what happens is there may be an acknowledgement, there may be take responsibility, I apologize for not communicating openly with you, and then there's a shutdown of communication. End of story. There's no room for any other dialogue. That is also not a repair. Now, the next moving forward step is to make amends. Take tangible steps to address the issue and rebuild trust, whether through actions or commitments. So it's not just talk about it once and move on. In fact, part of making amends may require multiple conversations over long periods of time. It really depends on the nature of the rupture. One conversation may totally be enough, but in other conversations for other things, you may need multiple conversations. Words often aren't enough. Often there requires a change of behavior, and it can take time and may take some setting aside of pride as well. And then we really want to commit to growth. We want to learn from the experience and make a conscious effort to prevent similar ruptures from happening in the future. So those are just some basic steps for a repair, and they seem simple, and often people want to skip over them. They just want the time to pass, to say it's water under the bridge, say a quick sorry, figure it's just now up to the other person to get over it. I don't want conflict. I don't want to cause any problems. But if ruptures are not dealt with adequately, if there's no attempt to repair or the initial attempt failed, then this can lead to resentment and distance and ultimately the deterioration of the relationship. So what happens is unresolved conflicts fester over time and they create a toxic cycle of hurt and disconnection. And without the repair, the foundation of the relationship weakens and it becomes even more vulnerable to further ruptures and eventual breakdown. Now, why is telling someone to just get over it or ignoring it altogether not effective? Well, the first reason is, while we know it's not our job to validate other people overall, and while we do not need other people's validation for our own worth, it is nice to have and it can really help to feel seen. If you dismiss someone's feelings by telling them to just get over it or minimizing or dismissing what they're sharing, it invalidates their emotional experience. It sends a message that their feelings are unimportant or unwarranted, which can cause further hurt and resentment. That may not be your intention, but you need to be aware of what message you could be sending. Secondly, it really lacks compassion. When we're saying something like get over it or just dismissing something, it demonstrates a lack of compassion and understanding towards the person's situation. Instead of empathizing with their struggles and offering support, it minimizes their emotions. Thirdly, it overall suppresses communication. Encouraging somebody to get over it or just ignoring attempts at talking about it discourages open and honest communication. It shuts down the opportunity for dialogue, for resolution, makes it really difficult for the individual to express their thoughts and feelings in a safe and supportive environment. And it's going to impact things down the road for sure. So if this is a relationship that you care about, you may want to consider making an actual repair. Fourthly, it can really just escalate conflict rather than resolve it. It may lead to feelings of frustration or anger or hurt or further straining of the relationship and then creates a cycle of resentment and distance. And lastly, it impacts trust. Being told to just get over it or being dismissed can erode trust in the relationship. It signals a lack of trust and understanding in the other person's ability to handle their emotions and work through challenges together, potentially damaging the foundation of trust that really is essential for all our healthy relationships. Now, instead of telling somebody to just get over it or dismissing it, it's important to approach the situation with empathy, validation, and a willingness to listen. By acknowledging somebody else's feelings, offering support, working together to find a resolution, people can really build up a sense of trust and understanding, and it can be a source of connection in their relationship. All that being said, there are some very good reasons to get over things if we so choose. And while it's not for anyone to tell me or to tell you to get over something, I do want to acknowledge that it is a choice that is always on the table. No one can make you feel a certain way. You are in charge of your own thoughts and feelings. So you may decide that getting over it, letting go, changing your story, and offering yourself even the gift of forgiveness is what you want to do simply because it feels better for you. There's an expression that says holding on to resentment and anger is like drinking your own poison because it ultimately harms you more than anybody else. Let's talk about some of the negative impacts that can happen to you if you don't let things go. Well, we know that overall there's an impact on mental health. Not letting go can really eat away at your mental health, leading to increased stress and anxiety and even depression. It keeps you trapped in a cycle of negative emotions and can really hinder your ability to experience peace and joy and happiness. There can also be physical consequences as well. So the stress and the negative emotions associated with not letting things go can take a toll on you. It can impact your nervous system and keep you in a state of dysregulation, which then weakens your immune system, raises your blood pressure, increases your risk of developing different health conditions. It is not great overall. And then, of course, as we've already alluded to, it damages relationships overall. While having a rupture and not repairing can damage a relationship, there is the flip side of the coin that not letting go of things often will spill onto other relationships. I think of the example of like divorce. The spillover often happens to the kids. It also can lead to further communication breakdowns, trust issues, and ultimately the deterioration of important connections. Next, it really can block your personal growth if you are hanging on to resentment and anger. Not letting go prevents you from moving forward and growing as a person, keeps you stuck in the past, unable to really fully embrace the present moment and envision a brighter future. And lastly, it drains your energy. The emotional energy required to not letting go is exhausting. It consumes your mental and your emotional resources, leaves you feeling drained and depleted. So ultimately, not letting go only serves to harm yourself, while the person or situation you're upset with may be completely unaffected. Lastly, let's take a look at what happens to our nervous system when we let go or don't let go. When we don't let go, or don't forgive, or don't move on, our nervous system can actually stay activated. And then the story we tell ourselves will be from that activated state. We get stuck in survival mode. We get stuck in protection mode, and we'll continue to stay there. When we do let go or do forgive, our nervous system can return to regulation. And now the story we can tell can come from that place of calm and confidence and curiosity. It can come from that zone of tolerance and resilience and compassion. We enter into connection mode and we can thrive. So I do think it's important to learn how to let go, but it's not going to be encouraged when somebody just tells you to get over it. Now, letting go is so much easier if genuine attempts of repair have been made. And I know the real challenge becomes, what do you do if there's been no attempt to repair, which is often the case, or it's been dismissed? This is where we do fall back on the only thing that you can control is you. You get to decide your own timeline, how you respond. It can help to know how not letting go impacts you and your health overall, which is why I wanted to share with you some of those things. Now, overall, ruptures will always be there. In a healthy relationship, we want to make sure that we're actively trying to repair. This is how resilience is built in relationships. Ultimately, though, it is up to us to decide to let things go, to get over things, so to speak. But it needs to be our decision and not something that somebody else tries to force upon us. It is also up to us to attempt to make the repair, to take accountability, to take responsibility and do what we can to make amends and rebuild that trust and create that connection in the relationships that are most important to us. I hope you found that helpful, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.